In today's episode, you'll discover the burnout allies don't talk about and why it's real.
Welcome to More Human, More Kind, the podcast for parents of LGBTQ+ kids and anyone trying to stay human in a world that keeps hardening. I'm Heather Hester, and here we talk about fear, belonging, boundaries, courage, love, and what it means to protect what matters without losing yourself in the process. Your child doesn't just need a parent who's informed. They need a parent who is grounded and strong. Let's take a breath and let's begin.
Welcome to More Human, More Kind. I'm Heather Hester. There's a kind of tired that sleep doesn't fix. The kind where you're hypervigilant at 2 a.m., researching gender therapists you don't need yet, just in case. Or the kind where you snap at your spouse over nothing and then disappear into work for 10 hours because home feels like just too much. That's not weakness. That's a nervous system that's been on alert for months. Today, we're talking about ally burnout, what it actually looks like, why it's real, and what to do about it. By the end of today's episode, you'll have permission to name what you're feeling without guilt or comparison to your kid's pain. You'll have language for why this happens that is grounded in real research on caregiver stress. And you'll have three concrete entry points to start recovery, even in the middle of the storm. Today, I'm starting with a story, one that is from my past that I think will resonate with you. I want to take you back to when Connor first came out. He was 16. Within the first months of him coming out, he started to spiral, not because anything was wrong with who he was, but because the world around him hadn't caught up yet. And at the same exact time, my husband's father's health began to decline, and my sister's health, my sister, was in acute distress. All four kids were home, one spiraling, two extended family members in crisis, and somewhere in there, I stopped eating. I stopped sleeping. I became hyper alert, like my body had decided if I just paid close enough attention, I could keep everyone alive through sheer force of vigilance. I submerged myself in research, therapists, books, support groups, because learning felt like the one thing I could control. My husband did the opposite. He threw himself into his work. He had sudden, intense flashes of anger that didn't match the moment. And underneath all of it, he just kept reaching for his glass is half full outlook at everything, which of course is quite beautiful until it's a way of not looking at something that needs looking at. What I just described has a name. It's called compassion fatigue. It's made up of two things layering on top of each other. Burnout, which is the slow drain exhaustion from carrying something heavy for a long time. And secondary traumatic stress, which is the toll it takes on you when someone you love is in pain or you're absorbing it alongside them. This isn't pop psychology. It's a documented phenomenon originally identified in healthcare and emergency workers exposed to other people's trauma. But the research has since extended into family caregivers. Here's the part that I think gets left out when people talk about burnout, and it's the part that matters the most. Compassion fatigue has a flip side, a side that researchers call compassion satisfaction. It's the fulfillment, the meaning, the deep good you feel from caring for someone you love. And those two things, fatigue and satisfaction, aren't opposites fighting for the same space. They live in you at the same time. So you can be bone tired, hypervigilant, not sleeping or eating, and also feel like showing up for your kid is the most meaningful thing you've ever done. Both are true. Neither cancels the other out. And I think a lot of us, especially parents, get stuck believing that if we admit we're depleted, we're somehow saying our kid isn't worth it, or that we regret showing up. That's not it. That was never it. You can love fiercely and still be running on empty. You can be exactly where you're supposed to be and still need someone to hand you a glass of water. The exhaustion isn't a referendum on your love. It's just what it costs sometimes. And naming that cost out loud, without guilt attached to it, might be the single most useful thing you can do this week. Here's what's important. You're not imagining this, and you're not being dramatic. Researchers studying families of LGBTQ+ youth have found something specific. Parents often experience minority stress vicariously through their child. You don't have to be the one targeted to carry the weight of the targeting. And there's another piece. Many parents experience what's called ambiguous loss. Grief over the future they had imagined for their child, even as they're learning to embrace the future that's actually unfolding. That grief is real, even when it sits right next to love and pride. It doesn't mean that you don't accept your kid. It means that you're human, and humans grieve change, even good change. I've talked so many times about allowing your movie reel to explode. That is a way of acknowledging ambiguous loss, the grief no one has overtly given you permission to feel because your kid is fine. They're just being themselves. But if you don't allow yourself to process this, to let your movie reel to explode, this becomes another layer building to eventually burn out. If you don't remember the movie reel analogy, here is the quick version. From birth, you have consciously and subconsciously created a movie reel of who you think your child is, and based on a million different inputs, who you think they will be in the future. Because we live in a heteronormative binary society, still, the default is still straight and cisgender. So when your child comes out to you and shares their sexuality, gender, or both as one that doesn't match your movie reel explodes. And in order to move forward, you must let it explode, even if you are the most affirming, loving parent in the world. You still need to go through the process of letting your version of the movie go. Something else showed up in our house that I think a lot of you will recognize. My burnout and my husband's burnout did not look the same. The research on this backs reality. Men and women tend to show distinct stress responses. Men more often default to fight or flight, while women more often default to what researchers call tend and befriend. Tending meaning quieting and caring for others. Befriending meaning leaning hard into connection and information gathering. That's me researching at midnight. And that's my husband fighting or hiding behind a facade of everything's okay. Neither of us was doing it wrong. We were doing it in the way our nervous systems knew how. So let's look at a few healthy ways to approach and reframe this. The first tool is more of a concrete tool. Name your pattern out loud, whether it's to yourself or your partner or both. Not to fix it tonight, just, I think I'm in fight or flight, or I think I'm in over-research mode. Naming creates a half second of choice where there wasn't one before. It's another form of name it to tame it. Saying it out loud takes away its power. The second tool is more of a reframe. Burnout isn't proof you're failing your child. It's proof you're carrying something heavy. You don't need to earn rest by being in crisis. The exhaustion itself is the evidence you've already been doing the work. The third tool is, again, a concrete one. Pick one biological non-negotiable and protect it like it's a medical necessity. For me, at that time, it might have been food. For my husband, it might have been 10 minutes of quiet before walking into a meeting or walking in the door at the end of the day. Research-backed interventions for parents under this kind of stress consistently point to small, sustainable practices, whether it's expressive writing, stress management practices, or mindfulness-based approaches. Not grand overhauls by any means, things that are simple, doable, and enough to help you manage whatever comes your way in a healthy way. Inviting someone into your home to paint is a big deal. You want people you can trust, people who show up on time, respect your space, and do the job right the first time. That's exactly what we do at Hester Painting and Decorating. With over 58 years of experience and a commitment to true craftsmanship, we treat your home like it's our own, creating masterpieces, one wall at a time. To schedule a consultation, go to go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK. That's go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK. And the fourth tool is another reframe. You are allowed to be the one who needs tending to. Tend and befriend doesn't have an exception clause for, but I'm the parent. You can be both the giver of care and someone who needs it. I look back at that season and I barely recognize the woman who wasn't eating, the one who was up at 2 a.m. reading everything she could find. But I also don't blame her at all. She was doing the only thing she knew how to do with fear that big. And eventually, not quickly, and definitely not gracefully, Steve and I both found our way back to something that was steadier. Connor is thriving. We are closer than we've ever been. Actually, all four kids of ours are thriving at this moment in time. But I wish someone had told me back then that the burnout itself wasn't a sign I was doing it wrong. It was a sign of how much I loved him. I want you to take a few minutes right now to think about these reflection questions. And if you don't have time, come back later. Even 5 minutes just thinking about these will make a big difference. So first, what does your burnout look like? And does it look different from your partner's or your co-parents? Two, is there a name for what you're carrying that you haven't let yourself use yet? Whether it's grief, fatigue, fear. Three, what's one biological non-negotiable you could protect this week? It could be sleep or food or 10 quiet minutes. And four, where have you been waiting to earn rest by things getting bad enough first? If you recognized yourself in today's discussion, show yourself kindness by trying one of the tools or reframes that I shared. Whether it's naming your pattern out loud, picking a biological non-negotiable, holding fast to the knowledge that burnout is not proof that you are failing your child, or allowing yourself to be on the receiving end of tending to. As we close out Pride Month this year, I want to say this. The parents and allies doing this work, the ones who are tired, who are still showing up anyway. You are part of why this month matters. Pride isn't just celebration. It's also every parent at 2 a.m. learning, loving, and staying. If you're carrying this alone right now and it's starting to cost you your sleep, maybe your patience, maybe your sense of yourself, come find me in the Kindred Collective community where you don't have to explain the backstory before someone understands. The link to learn more is in the show notes. Until next time, keep becoming more human and more kind. Your space says something before you ever do. Whether it's an office, retail space, commercial property, or national rebranding work, the quality of your environment reflects your brand. At Hester Commercial Painting, we deliver professional, high-quality results with minimal disruption to your business. On time, on budget, done right. Hester Commercial Painting, craftsmanship at work. To schedule a consultation, go to go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK. That's go.hesterdecorating.com/MHMK.